Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen and ascended Lord Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. I want to talk about the first reading today from Acts chapter 1. Please pray with me as we consider the word of God. Gracious Lord, pour out your spirit on the church. Plant the word deeply in our minds and our hearts that it would grow in us and produce in us faith, assurance, peace, joy, obedience to you. Plant that word deep in our hearts now as always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, simple question today. We're all thinking about what? Thinking about family? Thinking about mothers? God bless our families. God bless all mothers. A happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. It's a family day. Great day. As I read Acts chapter 1, the first reading, this time period is mentioned between the Ascension and Pentecost. We have a little picture of the church family. What's the church family up to in Acts chapter 1 as they await the gift of the Holy Spirit? We have a little snapshot of what the family ought to look like. May this be a little picture of First Lutheran Church and every church, and for that matter, secondarily, our own individual families. What's God want in his family? Church family and our personal families. Four things I note about the church family here in Acts chapter 1. Family day. First of all, note the obvious. The family of 120 believers. The family is together. They're together. All 120. They're not scattered. You don't have one group over here bickering with the other group and with that group over there. They're not in their own little cliques. Their own little groups where they shun the other groups and think they're better than the other groups. There are 120 believers from all different groups of people. Boys, girls, men, women, young, old, in between, youth. You probably have it all. Babies. And yet they're all together in one place. And as the Bible says, they're in one accord. They don't even have the Holy Spirit yet. That comes next Sunday. And yet they're in one accord, meaning they're at peace. Now this does not mean they're a perfect church. We should never have this idea that the early church, they were the perfect, ideal church. If only we could be like them, but we're stuck in our lousy choice church. I'd sure rather be in that church back then. They had their problems too, like every church does, because it's full of sinners. I think they probably had a leadership problem back then. Peter had denied the Lord three times. I can imagine gossip. Should he be our leader? He denied the Lord three times. And what about John and James and the others? They denied the Lord too and scattered. Who's going to be our leader now that Christ has ascended? They probably had talk about that, division, I would expect, to one degree or another about that. They had the whole scandal of Judas. I mean, commits suicide, betrays the Lord. How could this happen? You can imagine finger pointing about that. Again, talk and gossip about the suicide of Judas, how terrible that was. It's a major scandal in the church that could divide and cause debate and argument. And they're not a rich church. I'm sure they pass a budget that doesn't look real good like we have in the past too. Where's the money going to come from? They were poor. We know a little later in Acts they all had to gather their belongings together to help each other out. They're poor. And they're also persecuted. Persecution looms. The Jews are after them too. They have their issues. And yet they're all together in one accord. How can that be? We know how it is. It's by one person who is there in their midst. And who's that one person, church? Jesus. Christ is among them. They confess their sins to Christ. They hear the absolution of Christ. They eat and drink of Christ. They hear the word of Christ. So they're together around Christ because his love covers a multitude of sins. When we have Christ, we can forgive each other 70 times, seven times, as Jesus says. Forgiveness rules the church. Love for all people rules the church. Mercy for all. That's why they are in one accord. They're together because of Christ, the name of Christ. They're all baptized. They're all brothers and sisters. They're all family. It's not just another church member. This is my brother. This is my sister. How I must love them and be one with them. You know, I heard where researchers did research on this topic. And you know, when people are in their worst mood during the day, this is general, of course, done a lot of research on millions of people, and the national mood is at its lowest at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We've all had lunch, and we all want to do what? Take a nap. But we all got to do what? Still work. So everybody's kind of grumpy at 1 o'clock. Everybody's kind of, getting on each other's nerves. We don't want to work anymore. And you know what the solution is? They did this for businesses to figure out how to get their people to work more. And the solution they gave to help your grumpy workers at 1 o'clock in the afternoon is this. Have them watch a YouTube video, a funny one, an interesting one. For 5 minutes, it'll cheer them up, they'll giggle, they'll laugh, and they'll go back to work. I wonder how much money they spend on that study. YouTube videos to cheer me up? We in the church get down, and we bicker, and we have our moods because we're sinners. And sometimes we're down a lot more than just at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We have the burden of the devil and sin and evil that seems to be upon us more than others because we feel it more. And the solution is not to go home and watch a YouTube video and cheer myself up and watch something funny. It's to do what we do right now. We come together and confess sin. And we come to a table and receive mercy and mercy. And how can I not show mercy to you then when he's shown mercy to me? And we gather around the name of Christ. Secondly, the church is being taught. They're together. What are they doing together? They're being taught. We have Peter stand up. This is amazing grace that Peter's their leader, the one who denied the Lord, the loudmouth Peter. Yet he stands up. He's their leader. They forgive him, you see. And he preaches about a very difficult topic. This is not an Easter sermon. It's not an Ascension sermon. It's not a Pentecost sermon. This is a difficult sermon about the suicide of Judas. This is a hard funeral sermon, if you will, although it's the topic, not his funeral. Difficult. Peter addresses it, speaks the word of God to it. They call Matthias to be the 12th apostle. What are the people doing? They're listening. Difficult topic. Probably some didn't want to come that day. They're gathered to hear the word of God on a difficult topic, the death and suicide of Judas. And no one interrupts Peter. No one walks out, I don't want to hear about it. They hear the word of God from the mouth of Peter. This is the church. This is the church family. And a lesson here is if they gladly heard the word of God about the scandalous death of Judas, how much more we should be eager to hear the word of God about the wonderful salvific death of Jesus, the cross. It's not a scandal. It's salvation. It's not a problem we got to address. The death of Christ is peace. It is pardon. It is paradise. And we long to hear it because there's so much bad news everywhere out there. I want to hear the good news that God loves me. God forgives me. God is on my side. And I'm forgiven and saved. And this is the key to the church. Longing to hear the word of God and be filled with the word of God, and everything else takes place after that then. We can't help but love our neighbor and go forth with the love of God in our hearts. When we're filled, we go. You know, I read in Bible class given by Cheryl Hunsey some cute things that second graders said about moms. I'll give one more today. I read some of these in Bible class and we chuckled a bit. This one caught my interest more than the others. Second graders talking about moms now. Second graders. And they were asked the question, who's the boss at your house? And one second grader says, Mom doesn't want to be the boss, but she has to because Dad's such a goofball. That strikes home here. Who's the boss at your house? Another one says, Mom, you can tell by room inspection, she sees all the stuff under my bed. There's a good kid. And here's the one, who's the boss at your house? I guess Mom is because only she has a lot more to do than Dad. Very true. Moms work awful hard, a lot of times harder than Dad, to keep the family together. And on Mother's Day, I thank and praise my mom for her hard work with 5 children and 4 boys, and they were a little better than me, but not a whole lot better than me. You realize what my mom had to deal with 4 kids like me. And mom's a sinner. But I can stand here today and say Mom's whole goal in life was to imprint upon this boy's heart and the other kid's heart the love of Jesus. In every day of her life, I think she prayed and she still prays. And her whole goal, I want to teach my children Jesus. I got to pass the faith on. And she still cries about it and she still talks about it. She preaches a better sermon than I do. I'll have mom come and preach next Mother's Day, huh? But to instill Jesus on my heart, it was what it was all about. You got to know Jesus. Almost to the point, it's like, Mom, I know Jesus. Please let me be. I hope that's in your home. That you speak of Jesus and you speak of love and the cross and the resurrection freely, and you talk about Revelation 22, heaven, where we're all going. These things are talk in your home. Imprint Jesus on the hearts of your children, moms and dad. Mom, you're often the one that will do it more than dad, sadly. Dad should do it, number one, but moms often are just around more. I don't know why it is, but somebody do it. Pass the faith on. Get it in the hearts of kids. And kids, I want to encourage you, be a good listener. Use these. Listen to that talk of Jesus. And from your Sunday school teachers and our day school teachers here and the pastor, may we love the Word of God. Thirdly, this is a church family that wants to tell. They want to be fed, but they want to go tell too. They call Matthias to be the 12th apostle. Why? Why aren't 11 apostles good enough? Why do we need a 12th apostle when the one guy we're replacing was really a bad guy? Why do we need a 12th, Lord? And why is it mentioned in the Bible? Why a 12th apostle? It gets to the mission of the church. Christ has given them the command to go make disciples of who? Of all nations. He has told them, you 120, small little group, you're going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. You have a worldwide mission, folks. So everybody's important. 120 is better than 119. 220 is better than 219. 12 apostles is better than 11 apostles. Every voice matters. Every Christian matters. We're all ambassadors. We're all witnesses. We're the light of the world, but if one light doesn't shine, the light's a bit dimmer. We're the salt of the earth, but if one piece of salt isn't that salty, we're a little less salty. We're all witnesses, but if one witness doesn't witness, we have a lesser witness. Everybody counts. Boys, girls, young, old, who can you tell? Who can you be a witness to? 11's not good enough. We got to have 12 because the Word of God's at stake. We got to get it out. Just like one lost sinner is all important to God, the witness of every single Christian is important to God. No one takes time off from that and says somebody else will do it. You know what part of our body undergoes the most trauma in our lives? The part of the body that undergoes the most trauma in our lives, you know what it is? Our vocal cords. Mine really get a lot of trauma when I preach. Not a bad thing, really. May we use our mouths and not be shy, but speak boldly about it. Now's the time, folks. It's a dark world. Now's the time for Christians to speak up. Use your vocal cords. Love your neighbor. Show them that you care and you love him to the core of your being because God does. But speak up for your Lord and don't be shy about it. Talk about cross, resurrection, forgiveness that only Jesus saves. And do it unashamedly. Do it humbly and gently in love for your neighbor, but do it. And if you strain your vocal cords a little bit, so be it. It's okay. Last of all and above all, the church family here is a church of trust. Above all, they trust their God. It's a picture of faith. They have faith in their Lord to take care of everything. They have faith that indeed he will send the Holy Spirit as he promised. The Holy Spirit's coming. They believe that, and he comes the next week. They believe that the word of God spoken by Peter is the truth. They believe that God indeed had chosen Matthias over the other guy, Barsabbas, to be the apostle. No one says let's have a revote. No one says I want him rather than him. They just accept the word of God and the will of God. They trust God that God's called the right guy, that God has spoken through Peter. God will send the Holy Spirit. They trust that God will protect them in the midst of persecution. And above all, they trust in forgiveness. They trust in their baptism. They're washed and clean. They trust in the bread and wine, which is the body and blood that will feed their souls. They trust they will rise from the dead. They trust in heaven. There be at the pearly gates and the gold seats. They trust all of that through Jesus. They're a church of faith. Not a perfect faith, but faith. And may we have this kind of faith in the Word of God. I read some fascinating stuff this week Do you know what animal might be able to help us with infections? Research says that the frog might be able to help us with infections because they secrete some goo, and this goo might help with infections. Incredible to me. What animal can help us with cancer? The scorpion perhaps can help us. All these gifts from God that we think are terrible. What animal can help us with allergies? They say they're researching moths, that moths might be able to help us somehow with allergies. Incredible, the gifts of God to help us in our lives. But I'm here today to say, I don't really trust a frog or a scorpion or a cotton-picking moth to do all that much for me. Okay? And neither do you. Who will raise me from the dead is what I want to know. Who will get me to heaven? Who will give me the gold streak? Who's going to be with me when I die and I face my Maker? I have to face the Holy God. Who can help me then? Who can save me then? And what's His name, First Lutheran Church?
Jesus.
I can see you love Him dearly. What's His name?
Jesus.
The Lamb. Trust the Lamb who shed His blood for your sins. A full trust. He's the one that can help you in the end. The family here. It's a family text. It's First Lutheran family. Our individual families. They're together. They're being taught. They're eager to tell. They trust their God. What a family. We're that type of family too. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Say that with me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's rise and confess our faith. We'll confess the